Okay, you ready? Let's go. Britain since the Romans. This is the description of the course. This is the description of the course in the brochure. So, as you can see, the idea is that in 6 hours, I take you all the way. In 6 hours, I take you all the way from the Romans to the present day. This is in three sections. The first section is going to be the Roman occupation of Britain, and then the other invasions, the Vikings, the Angles, the Saxons, a lot of invasions from Scandinavia in the first centuries after Jesus Christ. That's the first section. The second section, we're going to see how feudalism enters into a big crisis, and one of the clues to this crisis is the conflict between the Protestant religion, the new religion, the modern religion, and the old Catholic religion. Not j'ai besoin de silence. Thank you. Because of course, England today, Amosh. England today is a Protestant country, and this is very important to British history, the conflict between Protestant religion and Catholic religion. This is what you call in French la réforme, and in England the Reformation, you know, Henry VIII and kings and queens and stuff like that. We will go into that, and also the Civil War, an enormous civil war in Britain, which some people call the English Revolution. And this destroyed the absolute power of the king and introduced gradually the possibility for a more modern society. That's the second section. And finally, we will be looking at this question: why did England become so powerful? Why was there an enormous British Empire? Why Britain? Britain is a small country, not very important, not very impressive. It rains too much. But the British Empire was the biggest empire in the history. And the Industrial Revolution, of course, came first to Britain. So we want to ask the question, why? Because in history, really, the only interesting question is, why? Because otherwise it's just a list of facts. That's not so important. And finally, the enormous transformations of the 20th century, the death of the British Empire, and the world wars and so on. 6 hours, 2,000 years. I will do my best. So let's go right back to the beginning, before the Romans. You should be discovering what is Eprel and the server, and you can find my course on Eprel. Here it is. Il faut chercher L1 S2 Panorama Civilisation Britannique, John Mullen, and it is open. I don't need to add you. You can add yourselves if you search for this one here. And this, I think, this will be very useful. Also, the slideshows, les diaporamas, les PowerPoint, je les mettrai là-dessus pour que vous puissiez les regarder. Okay, so Britain, of course, the first thing which is obvious about Britain is it's an island. This is an advantage in history because it's very easy to travel from here to here by ship. In France, the same distance was much more difficult for a long time. It's very handy, very useful to be an island from this point of view. The very first people lived in Britain half a million years ago, just at the same sort of time as in France, but the oldest village that we have found was only 10,000 years ago. Ça c'est l'âge de pierre, the Stone Age. The big change came 7,000 years ago. This is the Neolithic Revolution. Neolithic, c'est la pierre polie. That is to say that because they could polish the stones, they made better axes to kill the animals. They began to learn more about growing agriculture, the beginnings of agriculture, very important. So it's not necessary to follow the deer or the animals all the time. You can stay, you can form a village and have farms around it. This is the Neolithic revolution 7,000 years ago. And it's important to remember that 7,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago, the people were not stupid. This is one of the monuments that we have today, which shows us that in fact they were very sophisticated people. First of all, if I asked you to build one of these, you would have some difficulty. But secondly, what we know about this is that the stones came from 300 kilometers away. We know where the stones came from, and it's a long way. And this shows us that society was very organized, that technology was very organized, and of course it's something very impressive, even though we don't know exactly why they built it. This is about 5,000 years old. That's right. About the same time, a new group of people came from what is now Germany, and we call these we call this group. I wonder if I can get this out so I can write on it. Yes. We call this this group the Beaker folk. The Beaker folk are a group of people who come to Britain. Why do we call them the Beaker folk? A beaker, c'est une shop. C'est les gens du des shop. C'est simplement parce que c'est ça ce qu'on a trouvé, surtout, qui fabriquait ces vaisseaux pour boire. But let's move on to the next invasion. So we have, let me summarize. We have the Stone Age people who built Stonehenge. After this, we have the Beaker folk who arrive. And later, about 700 years before Jesus Christ, we have a people who arrived who are still there. And this is the Celts, les peuples Celtes. Les peuples Celtes, as you probably know, in Ireland and in Wales and in Scotland, the language, there is a Celtic language. Au Pays de Galles, on parle une langue celte encore aujourd'hui. En Écosse, beaucoup moins, mais quand même. Oui, voilà, c'est gentil. Essayez de faire un peu de la place pour les pauvres qui n'ont pas de place. So, the arrival of the Celtic people, who are still influential today, as we will see, they will have a difficult time later, but they survived. The Welsh language and the Irish language and the Scottish language are evidence that these people have survived. This is then 700 years before Christ. I have another picture of Stonehenge there. This is the Beaker. On les appelle les gens du shop parce qu'ils laissaient plein de trucs comme ça. C'est-à-dire, on ne sait pas grand chose d'autre de ces gens-là. These are Celtic. Ce sont des trucs celtes. These are for drinking. Drinking is very important in British history. Oh yeah, and even today, of course, drinking is a very, very important section of British history. These are helmets, military helmets from the Celts. Les Celtes, en anglais, on dit Celts. Yeah, these are Celtic helmets in the museum. Because, of course, society at this time is very violent. And in fact, most of history is very gore, as we will see. Yeah. We think our society is violent today. it was much more violent. So these are the military helmets of the Celtic peoples. So when the Romans arrive for the first time, before Christ, tel model, c'est avant notre ère. Yeah, the Romans arrived in Britain for the first time, and we need to look at why they came to Britain and what happened next. Oh, pas encore. So why did the Romans come to Britain? At this time, the Roman Empire was very big and very powerful. Spain, France, half of Germany, and much, much wider as well, was under Roman domination. However, Britain had never been touched, and Britain was the last big conquest of the Roman Empire. It was the last one. Why did it happen? Well, the emperor at the time needed a military victory. He had a lot of problems, a lot of rivals. I want to be emperor. No, I want to be emperor. And in the Roman culture, what was necessary is to show I have a big victory. I am the right person to be emperor. And this is the reason for the invasion of Britain, was to have a prize, to prestige, to show that he should be emperor. Now, just a little information on how the Roman Empire worked. The Roman Empire was a very specific kind of empire, very simple. Here is a new country. You send in the army to occupy the country, and you receive taxes. The taxes pay for the army. And also, the Romans integrated the elite. So the ordinary people in this country continue working and paying taxes, but the elites become Romans. The elites of the new country become Roman citizens. It's an integration process. Very, very impressive. For example, in the Roman Empire, there is no racism. Doesn't matter what, where you come from or what color you are. There is a big difference between the elites and the ordinary people and the slaves. But the different races have no importance whatsoever. Racism is a modern invention, as I will talk about later. So they arrived in Britain, and I want to look at the question of what difference did it make? What difference did the Romans make to Britain? Well, certainly, first of all, they founded the most important towns, Londinium, Manchester, Mamucium, and York, you don't need to know. They were founded by the Romans. So some of the most important towns were founded by the Romans. Of course, the roads, very important roads. The road from London to Edinburgh, today, we call it the Roman Road, because it's practically the same position. They also brought in water supply for the towns, sanitation for the towns, and sewage systems for the towns. However, the towns in the Roman Empire are the place where the elite live. Yeah, today in the 21st century, towns are full of people who work and produce. In the Roman Empire, this is not the case. In the Roman Empire, the town is the place where the elite consume, and all the riches are produced in the countryside. Agriculture, of course, there is almost no industry. Agriculture is the source of wealth, and the towns are for the elites. And fundamentally, in Britain, the Roman Empire brought many advantages, but only for the elites. Even the roads, the ordinary people were not allowed to use the Roman roads. You had to pay to use the roads. So it can't be said, really, that there was a general advantage for ordinary people. The Roman Empire, of course, is it is based on slavery. C'est basé sur l'esclavage. And so many ordinary people were simply slaves, which is not fun. And also, of course, tremendously violent. I will talk in a moment about gladiators. So the slaves were obliged to work for nothing, and every now and then there would, however, be slave revolts. The most famous slave revolt was the revolt of Spartacus. You remember the film with Kirk Douglas? Yes, is it similar? Now, Spartacus formed an army of slaves, and for 2 years he was successful against the biggest Roman armies. So it was a very powerful revolt, a very surprising revolt, but a very powerful revolt. Of course, at the end he was defeated, and to celebrate the defeat, along the whole of a long road of 50 or 100 kilometers, they hung a slave every 100 meters in order to remind people that revolt was not such a good idea. Yeah? So it's a very, very violent society, as most societies are. The other thing which is tremendously violent... Non, c'est pas ça que je cherche, en fait. Fascinant. Mon PowerPoint ne correspond pas à ce que j'ai écrit. On va voir si vous remarquez. Okay, the other thing which is tremendously violent about the Roman Empire is the sports, gladiators. And this was very, very, very important. Enormous games used to reinforce the prestige of the elites. If you were a member of the elite, you sent out invitations, come to my games, 50 slaves will die. Yeah? And your neighbor said, oh, when I had games, 100 slaves died. I'm much more important than you. This is not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. It's really the situation. The games had to be more and more spectacular. One of the favorite ones was elephants fighting bulls. Des éléphants qui combattent des taureaux. C'est mieux que Call of Duty, the video game. Yeah, really. Elephants fighting bulls to the death. Seals against bears. Des phoques contre les ours. Ça doit être sympa, hein? Quand même. Now, these are games which were the most important games were in Rome, but they had games all over the British Empire. The Roman Empire. And in Britain too, they had gladiators and games, and if you were part of the elites, you could go and watch the games and the slaves being killed. It's not easy to be a gladiator, but at least you get good food. Right, so the Roman army was extremely important to the Roman Empire because the Roman Empire could only survive by expanding. It was not a stable situation. It could only survive by expanding. And if you want to expand, then it's necessary to find new countries where there is good agriculture. Because if there is no good agriculture, it's impossible to get taxes if they're not producing enough. And this is the reason why the Roman Empire never occupied the forests of Germany, never occupied the deserts of North Africa, and never, as we will see, never conquered the mountains of Scotland. Because if there is not good agriculture, then the money you receive from taxes is not enough to pay the army. So, when the Romans occupied Britain, life changed a lot for the elites. Life changed a lot. They began to read literature, Roman literature. They began to do the Roman leisure activities like the baths, liban, the forum, the theatre. So life was much more cultured for the elites in Britain at that time. So let's go back to the invasion of Britain. 40,000 Roman soldiers invade Britain. In fact, what happens is that the first invasion in 55 BC is not successful. It is the second invasion in 41 AD which is a success and which causes the beginning there of the Roman occupation of Britain. When the Roman army has occupied Britain, the Roman emperor comes to Britain to look at his new lands, and after that, he goes for a tour around Italy to have a big party to say, look, I have now occupied Britain. And he names his son, can you be on time, please? He names his son Britannicus. Il est tellement content d'avoir occupé la Grande-Bretagne que son prochain fils, il est nommé Britannicus. In the name of this new thing. And
what was the name of that guy, the Roman Empire?
The Caligula. Oui, c'est gentil celui-là. Ou pas. Yeah, Caligula. Caligula is the guy who wins there. Excusez-moi, pas du tout, n'importe quoi. Claudius. J'ai lu la mauvaise ligne. Okay. So, once the Romans have occupied Britain, they need to convert the elites. They need to convince the elites to become Roman citizens. And this is not so easy, yes?
Why was the first invasion was not successful?
They didn't send enough soldiers. That's fundamentally the reason. They didn't send enough soldiers. And the Britons were better than they thought at fighting. It's very military reasons. Yeah, military reasons. Yeah, so they had to try to convert the elites. This was not so easy. The traditional Celtic chiefs, they were very different. They didn't live in towns. They normally carried their weapons with them, walk around with your axe or your sword. And so they wanted to introduce Roman civilization, which of course is civilization for the elite, not for the slaves, but you know, Roman civilization. And that's what they did in the towns and so on. Let's see what we've got on here. Here is the situation after a few years of the Roman invasion. You can see that Rome occupies this part. But this part is not yet directly controlled. It is what we call a client kingdom, c'est-à-dire que il y a des princes locaux qui paient quand même les taxes aux Romains. And so this is the situation in 50 AD, 9 years after this. And slowly the Romans will succeed in going further. And this is the advance of the Romans to the north. 43 to 47, 69, and up at the top, 84. This is the maximum. At 84 AD, the Romans occupied the maximum. But notice in the north of Scotland, they will never occupy. And the Scottish are very proud. The Romans never occupied us, yes? The Scots won. Part of the reason for this is that the agriculture was not rich enough to give the taxes necessary. This is the This is what? Ça, c'est par rapport au jeu à Rome, en fait. C'est le Circus Maximum. C'est pas très, très grave. Oh, here we have the gladiators. This is not a real gladiator. Okay. Here we have a drawing of the gladiators. Of course, this is the famous moment where the emperor goes, yes, he can live, or no, he must die. And perhaps you remember, before the games, the gladiators spoke to the emperor, morituri te salutant, yeah? Nous qui sommes sur le point de mourir, nous vous saluons. Yeah, sympa. Okay, very famous element of this. The Roman Empire introduced much more sophisticated trade, the commerce. And this is one of the most important transport mechanisms. These are amphorae. And what do you carry in these? Wine, olive oil, spices, etc. Yeah, wine. Oh, yeah, wine. Yeah, of course. Yeah, spices, etc. Of course. Fundamentally for the elite. Here is an example of a Roman villa, just to show the rather sophisticated building for the time. It's a model. The word family, vous connaissez le mot en français, famille ou en anglais, family, at the time of the Romans, familia meant the man and his wife and his children and his slaves. Yeah, all together, this is the word family. And they would all live in the same place. Mosaics were a sign of prestige. If you were a rich Roman or a rich British Roman, because the elite of Britain became Romans, and they spoke Latin, and they stopped speaking Celtic languages, yes. When the Romans invaded the Celtic peoples, some of them became slaves, and some of them ran away. North to Scotland, west to Ireland and Cornwall, and the Isle of Man, and to Wales. And these are the places where today you still see Celtic languages. So little by little, the population of Britain is becoming Romano-Celt. There's a kind of certain mixing in going on. Now, there were some more revolts. And one of the most famous ones is this revolt in 61 AD. And what was particular about this revolt is it was led by a woman. This is Boudica. And she was the leader of a revolt against the Romans in 61 AD. She almost won. It was very close. She lost, but she almost won. And of course, it's very impressive to have at this time a military leader who is a woman. And this is a statue in honor of her. The attacks of the Romans were very vicious, of course.
Vicious or violent.
Okay. Now the war continued in the west with Wales. The Romans continued to fight with Wales for a long time, for 30 years, and they were not completely successful. Now, the Romans were interested in Wales. Wales in a pedagogue. The Romans were interested in Wales because there was gold, silver, and lead, Duplon. But the agriculture, because it's very hilly, the agriculture was not very rich. And so they were never completely successful. But the war in the north, in Scotland, was much longer. As I mentioned in... In 84 AD, the Romans got the furthest north, and over the next 30 years, they were obliged to retreat down to where today we can see Newcastle. So they had to retreat. They had, at this moment, they had 40,000 soldiers. 40,000 soldats romains, at ce moment-là. And they had... They had a problem because they needed more soldiers. But it was impossible to have more soldiers because there were problems in Rome. There was a revolt in Rome which lasted the Dacians, D-A-C-I-A-N-S, qui se révoltaient contre Rome et donc qui ne pouvaient pas envoyer des soldats supplémentaires en Angleterre. So the problem was it was impossible for the Romans to conquer Scotland. And so when they had a new emperor, Hadrian, when Hadrian became emperor in 117 de notre era, Hadrian had a new tactic. He said, it's not possible to conquer Scotland, so let's have a new tactic. Does anybody know what the new tactic was? Yeah. He built a wall. Il a construit un mur. Here you have the calendar. Ça, je vous ai déjà montré, je crois, d'ailleurs. There's the wall. Wall, students, wall. This is Hadrian's Wall. This is still present today. It was much bigger. This is the today you can still see Hadrian's Wall, and it went from the sea to the sea, all the way across. And it's very important because it's the symbol of a new tactic. The Roman Empire cannot expand anymore. This is a bad sign because the Roman Empire depended on expansion. And so, instead of continuing to fight the Scots in the north, let's build a wall, Hadrian's Wall, across the whole country, c'est ambitieux, with, of course, forts and so on. In fact, all around the Roman Empire, the frontiers were, in many places, walls were built. However, this was not so successful, and in 142, the Romans had to abandon the wall. Yeah, they didn't have enough soldiers to protect it. For 100 years, there was advance and retreat, advance and retreat, and in particular, in 207, there was a big revolt in the north, and they had particular problems, the Romans, in 207. The new Roman Empire, Severus, came to Britain in this year, and he said, I have the final solution to the British problem in particular in the north. And for 2 years, they... fought against the Scots, but it was not successful. They were not very nice to them. Severus, the emperor, said, let no one escape utter destruction at our hands. Let not the infant still carried in its mother's womb, if it be male, escape from its fate. Donc il faut tuer tous les hommes, tous les enfants, même les enfants pas encore nés, il faut les tuer s'ils sont des mâles. Okay, so ils ne sont pas gentils dans l'ensemble. He is not successful. They do not succeed in conquering Scotland, and this is the last time that they will attempt, and so Scotland will always be. for 100 years or so. For 75 years at least, this is the period which is considered to be the golden age of Roman Britain. Many new villas were built, many mosaics, and so on. Some economic progress, in particular the Fenlands with grains. Ça, je vais vous donner en français parce que c'est trop dur. Ils ont asséché toute une région de marais. Donc ils ont pu mettre de l'agriculture où avant c'était impossible en utilisant de la technologie de bloquer l'eau. However, at this time, the army was enormous. 40,000 soldiers in the army, and that's a lot of money which was needed. The soldiers often married local women. And so there was a certain integration of Romans into the local into the local population. However, life was not so good for the ordinary peasants. Taxes, and more taxes, and also forced labour, la corvée, où on est obligé de construire des routes 10 jours par mois ou quelque chose comme ça. At this time, there were at least 1,000 country villas. Donc le villa que vous avez vu, il y a au moins un millier un peu partout en Angleterre à cette époque. Let's move on to the next section, which is from 300 on, and this is the end of the Roman Empire. Not only in Britain, but it is the decline of the Roman Empire, which takes a little time, but which is very complete. First of all, previous to this, there was a great instability in Rome. One of the emperors was killed by his brother. The Roman army in Germany, ce qui est aujourd'hui l'Allemagne, bien sûr, pas à l'époque, mutinied, and another emperor was murdered by his own soldiers. And this caused problems also for the Romans in Britain. And so they reorganized. They reorganized Britain into two sections, Britannia Inferior, Britannia Superior. And they controlled this section, and this section they didn't worry about too much. So this was a tactic to try to stabilize the situation. And in particular, in 286, for 10 years, there was the revolt of Carausius. Let me give you a little information about the revolt of Carausius. Carausius was a local Roman in Britain, a leader of the Roman Empire, a leader of the Roman army, and he declared, new situation, I declare myself emperor of Rome. En fait, c'est une mutinerie. Because Rome was not strong enough to send an army to defeat Carausius, Carausius announced he was the emperor of Rome. He declared himself emperor of Rome. At this time, the Roman army in Britain was 10% of all the Roman army in the world. So it's quite an important piece. And Carausius was for 10 years in charge of Britain. Here we have some coins which were produced in Britain by the people of Carausius. So you can see how he presents himself. This revolt of Carausius against Rome was not the only revolt. There were also revolts in Germany and elsewhere. It was a sign that the Roman Empire was unstable. And of course, because he now declared himself emperor, when you were emperor in Rome, you had to say, well, in fact, my grandfather was a god. This was the traditional thing to do, you know. I came from, my mother was born from the god and the goddess. This was the way of being emperor at the time. However, after 296, the Roman army came and defeated Carausius. And so the revolt was at an end. So we're still in this situation where Rome is unstable. The revolts, including the Carausius revolt in Britain, is very worrying for the Romans. And they have a new idea. The new emperor, Constantine, has a new idea. Constantine is the new emperor, and he would like to stabilize the Roman Empire. Not easy. And he has a completely new idea. Do you know what the new idea is? Christianity.
Jusqu'à cette date-là, la religion chrétienne était une religion minoritaire, très opprimée, et Constantin va en faire la religion officielle de l'Empire.
Good idea. Why does he do this? First of all, the Christian church is now quite powerful. In particular, the Christian church has a lot of priests and monks who can read and write Latin. Very useful for the empire. Secondly, the Christian religion, the Christian idea, is very powerful. Against the Roman idea, the Christian idea says there is only one God. This is a powerful idea. The Romans, we have lots of gods. We have Venus and Mars, lots of gods. And the idea of just one God could become a very unifying ideology. So, suddenly, the Christianity was officially legalized, and the empire joined its fortunes with the Christian church as a way of saving the Roman Empire. It worked a little bit for a few hundred years. So, Constantine ordered that all the pagan temples, all the temples of the Roman gods and the Celtic gods, should be given to the Christian church. And also, he said, the church must pay no taxes. No taxes for the church. Now, if you were in the Roman Empire and you wanted a good job, it was a good idea to be a Christian. I'm a Christian. Can I have a job? Yeah. It became a part of the ideology of the Roman Empire. A little like in Russia, 50 years ago, if you were a member of the Communist Party, you know. So many people became Christians, sometimes for practical reasons. A few years ago, I used to live in the southwest of France in a country, in a town called Agen. And the cathedral in Agen is Saint-Capré. Et c'est vraiment le mec qui n'a pas eu du bol parce qu'il s'est fait exécuter par les Romains. 5 ans avant que la religion chrétienne devienne la religion officielle de l'Empire. Alors, il n'avait pas le sens du timing. He was one of the last guys to be executed. So, we can see this is the attempt of Constantine to stabilize the British Empire. This is still Carausius, coins from Carausius. Constantine, and you can see behind him here, this is a Christian symbol. It's Greek, it means the beginning of the end. This is how we know, this is some of the ways that we know that Christianity became very influential. This is a mosaic. Remember that only rich people have mosaics at the time. And this rich mosaic has the Christian symbol. And more and more in the 4th century and the 5th century, when you see the tombs, les tombes, of rich people, you see the Christian symbol. It's new. In 250, there are no rich tombs with the Christian symbol. And 100 years later, there are lots of them. This is the reason why we know the changes that came about. So, the pagan temples declined. We can see this. The archaeologists, when they dig down and they dig down the different layers, and they can see that the decline of the pagan temples. Now we were also very lucky because a few decades ago at Water Newton. Walter Newton, same petite ville en Angleterre, c'est tout. And they found a great collection of early Christian things, which I will show you in a moment. But first of all, here's a map of Roman Britannia around 410. Okay, which gives you an idea of the important roads and so on. But at this time in 410, the Romans are on the point of leaving. They are going to leave in just a moment. What else do we have here? Roman soldier. Magnus Maximus on a coin, one of the very last Roman rulers of Britain. Here's another jewel with a Christian symbol involved. And again, discovered in 1975, from the Water Newton hoards. Now, at this time, we can see that Roman Britain is in decline because there are almost no new buildings, no new villas being built. Secondly, when you look at the villas of the towns in the east of the country, you find very strong defences just on one side, on the east. And this is because now we are seeing the first invaders. Yeah, the first Vikings and Saxons who come, not to stay, who just come to fight and steal. And so they need to protect all the east. And of course, the reason the invaders come is because they heard that the Roman Empire is not so strong anymore. There are not so many soldiers. So let's go and see what we can do. And so we can see that's what's happened. And the other problem is that in the rest of Europe, the German peoples are very important in the Roman army. And because Rome is not in such good state, the wages of the soldiers are not so high, there are a lot of revolts in the Roman Empire. And we normally say that 410 is the day of the end of the Roman Empire in Britain. That's more or less the end of the story for today. Next week we will see Angles, Saxons, Vikings, lots of blood, etc. Thank you for listening. See you next week.